This is a conversation with John Bates, CEO of SER Group, which builds intelligent content automation for modern document management. John shared his path from academia to entrepreneurship and how SER helps enterprises automate and understand their documents. I loved how he sees AI as augmenting human work and how SER complements platforms like Microsoft. Great. Very nice to meet you, John. Thank you very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. Thank you for your time and making this possible. John, I'm actually impressed with your background, to be honest with you. Yeah, like you have a PhD in computer science, right? You were a lecturer in Cambridge. Then you started to become an entrepreneur. So you basically from academia to entrepreneurship, and now, well, you've done a lot of stuff. You're an author, a chairman, and now you're the CEO of SER. Share a little bit, but briefly, how was that leap? Did you take that leap? So I would like to understand why.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you very much. And thanks for having me on, Flor. Yeah, so I crossed over to the dark side, didn't I, really? And my parents were very proud. There I was. I'd got PhD in computer science, and I was lecturing at Cambridge, fellow of St. Catherine's College and all this kind of stuff. But I got into the Cambridge scene, and it's not quite Silicon Valley, but it's probably the UK's closest version, where people are starting companies. And I had a lot of mentors that had been involved in some the early days of the microcomputer and starting interesting companies. And I just got addicted to that. But I knew nothing about business, but I was doing some interesting research. And that research was about how could you make decisions based on data that's changing very rapidly. And in those days, people shoved everything in a database and then built indexes on it. But if things are changing rapidly, like thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of times a second, sensor data or financial data, then you can't keep up. You can't store it in time. You can't build indexes on time. And also, you're looking for patterns when this happens and that happens and this happens, relationships. So I thought, okay. So I was doing this research based on some of the experimental equipment we had in the lab, but I thought, this could be a company. So I started a company with a friend and then actually decided to go full time and became the CTO and president of that business. And that's how it all started. It was a bit scary, but some of these famous faces from Cambridge actually ended up being the investors in the business. And so that was very exciting as well.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about it because like academia and all that is more like certain, more secure, you're more like stable. And then yes, completely, you took a risk actually, like a big risk, and it went well. So I guess that was a good idea. But you've combined deep technical expertise with business leadership. How do you maintain both sides, like your computer science, AI mind, and your business leader mind in balance?
Yeah, I've actually just done a little fireside chat to a group of chief technology officers about how does a chief technology officer become a CEO? Because I'm a big believer that product people make the best CEOs, because ultimately a software company is about your products, but it's not just about the technology, it's about the product strategy. It's about how you message, what's the vision, the message, the story. And then it's about the go-to-market strategy and about the people to bring that to life. But it all starts with the product vision. How are we going to change the world? What is the need? And why is this different? And I think products people are uniquely positioned to do this. I actually believe that researchers, academic researchers, there's a lot in common with product marketers because they have to find a new field of research. They have to sell that vision in their papers and talk about it. It's just that some of them don't realize that they could cross this road. And in fact, CTOs could, some of them not, because they might be too techie, but some of them, yes, could ultimately become CEOs. But one of the interesting things about technical people is, sometimes they're a bit more humble than, say, the very bold salesperson. Hey, I'm great. So sometimes they're a bit too shy to go this way, but they should. You'll always get a great balance from your technical side because you always understand what the product strategy is. You can say, you can call out your technical people if they say, oh, this will take this long. No, it won't. You could do it like this. So it's a great benefit, I think, and it's a great benefit to have.
It makes sense that I was actually thinking about Steve Jobs because he also was a product guy and then a big visionary because, as you said, he knew what was the problem with the product that he was building, the iPhone. So it's very interesting. I haven't heard that actually perspective from becoming CEO as a product. So I found it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
John, would you mind sharing a little bit what you guys do at SER?
Yeah, definitely. SER, we're all about a vision to change the world by delivering what we call our customers' ROI, but it doesn't stand for return on investment. It stands for return on information. So we're all about how can you leverage the documents and other content that are flowing into your business, that are already in your business, or that you need to generate to do your business. So we're about next generation document management, document automation, and document intelligence. So we call it intelligent content automation, the convergence of AI-powered document understanding. So automatically understanding documents, being able to manage those documents at massive scale, and I'm talking tens of billions or hundreds of billions of documents, to be able to find relevant documents in a really powerful, what we call superhuman way, to be able to collaborate around documents, to be able to automate processes around documents. So maybe it's an invoice is coming in, you want to automatically pay it, or you've got a human resources process where you want to be able to recognize a resume that fits this job description and automatically send it to the relevant person and maybe generate a contract. Generation of documents and communication of documents is the other part. So bringing all of this together in a next generation AI first platform is what we do to power enterprise customers.
So basically, you guys are B2B, right, for what I understood?
We are B2B, correct. So our customers are people like, for example, insurance companies or retailers or banks or manufacturers who have to manage huge numbers of documents, have to manage huge numbers of incoming documents, document processes, and they want to automate these, add intelligence to these, save time, money, and maximize the value of their people.
Okay, so now I feel like it's everything about automation and AI, right? What you guys are doing. So what is the role of the humans in the company?
Yeah, so the humans in a customer, the idea I don't believe AI is going to replace all of the humans. It's just going to supercharge them. It's going to give them basically a whole load of intelligent assistance. I like to think of scaling them 100-fold, making them 100 times more powerful. And so humans can do more with less, can make better decisions, can unlock golden nuggets hidden inside their businesses. And it's very much the same in our business. We're using AI and intelligence ourselves in the business to make our people more productive. We use our own technology actually and a range of other technologies. We see this, the need to supercharge our people with AI assistance.
Also, I guess that you already know because everybody's talking about this, everybody's a bit afraid of that. But what I wanted to say is because AI is replacing a lot of jobs, right? And as well, your company is a lot about replacing jobs of humans. So my question here is, where do you see the nature of work going? Do you think that unemployment will skyrocket in the upcoming years?
So I haven't really seen the replacement of people in our customers. I've seen the, you know, freeing of people from more mundane tasks to do higher value tasks. That's what I've seen to date. Although ultimately the nature of work is going to change with smart systems, and every generational, you know, sort of revolution, and this is an industrial revolution in our lifetime, always fears this. You had it with the steam era. Oh my God, the weavers are out of business. But things just change. You then need people to operate the machines, and a whole new set of jobs is created. And I think the nature of work is going to change. Humans will become more powerful. And what it's interesting, the type of job that's been replaced is not so much what we expected, which is the manual worker. It's more about the lower, more junior white collar worker, the more junior knowledge worker, because often that's or it becomes, you have a whole set of AI powered assistants. So I think potentially one unfortunate side effect is it's made it harder to get into more junior knowledge work because AI is there. So I think that's one of the areas where people have got to think about what are they going to do. And I think rather than being trained in jobs, I think you're going to see fewer university type graduates and maybe more apprentice type schemes actually to be specifically trained for a job so that people can then be taken on. And physical work has still not been replaced because that requires robotics, and robotics is running quite a long way behind the AI, smart AI, and it's still not easily possible for a robot to do my ironing, you know, and to put my clothes away, which is, I'm really waiting for that, but we'll see when that comes.
Yeah, robotics is another word, but I think it's closer than we think, to be honest.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. So, John, do you have any real use cases that you can share with us about SDR?
Yeah, definitely. We have lots of really exciting use cases. I give you some examples. So somebody like, for example, we have a customer called SEW Eurodrive, and they're the world number one in industrial drive units. So, you know, if you go on a moving walkway or escalator, or you've got a factory robot, it typically has a drive unit from SEW Eurodrive. They're based in Stuttgart in Germany. And they have a whole interesting range of use cases where documents meet AI. So one of them, for example, is they receive custom orders. Probably about 50,000 orders a day come in, often as email attachments in an unstructured format. And they have smart systems watching their email. It's looking for attachments, understanding what kind of attachment it is. Ah, it's an order. Okay, now I'm going to spin up a workflow that's going to, you know, create that order, that's going to register that order in maybe in the SAP ERP system, that's going to open the computer-aided design system and lay out that order, and is going to start the manufacturing process and monitor that to make sure it's delivered within the required time frame. But then also, imagine that the systems are deployed and somewhere deep down in the underneath these mechanical systems, you might have a support call. There might be an issue. And one of the cool use cases they've got now is the engineer can be down there, can just take a photo of the information about the little manufacturing ID, and a little picture that, and beam it up, and AI can understand what that is, maybe understand some things about the problem and send some automated assistance to say, okay, this is the background of this system. There's all sorts of interesting use cases, and that's just one customer. You've got a whole range of different use cases of customers that are automating things around their employees, that are automating things around their customers, around their contracts, around their financial systems, so invoices and orders. And so any kind of document, just like when you're born or you get married or you die, a document is created, a birth certificate, a death certificate, a marriage certificate. Just like that in business, everything that happens in business is represented as a document, and they are the blood flowing through a business, and automating processes around those and extracting intelligence from those and being able to remember where they are and how they join up and connect to get insights is more and more exciting every day.
So are you talking about a sentient document or just a document?
Sentient documents are another thing that's really exciting. So imagine if you're an insurance company and you create insurance policies. Imagine if that policy is actually sentient, so you can talk to it. Let's say I receive a document, it's an insurance policy. I can say, what is this policy about? Oh, it's a insurance policy that covers the home and contents of John. Okay, and when does it expire? It expires on this date. And does it conflict with any other policies that John has? Yes, it conflicts with this one over here. The idea is that just like a colleague, you can interact with a document and ask it questions. And all of those key facts of the document have been extracted as metadata, and they can be implanted in the answers. And similarly, if you're doing a superhuman search, you could ask a question across multiple documents. So find me any contract about chipmunks in California, and then you would get presented with relevant documents you've asked in an English way. And so it's very familiar that just if you're using as a chat GPT or a natural language type AI interface, but it's related to the documents and knowledge in your business as opposed to something on the internet.
Okay. So what are your main competitors at SER?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's different kinds of competitors. The approach that we've taken, though, is to say, look, there's already a document management or a enterprise content management market, and there are players in that market, and there have been for many years. But the next generation of needs around documents has changed, and there's a number of different, if you like, adjacent sectors that have to come together to form this new market. And that's what we've tried to do, bring together. There's a market for intelligent document processing, understanding documents and being able to extract their meaning. And there's players in that market like Kofax or somebody like this now called Tungsten Automation. But that's all they do. And then there's actually managing the documents, and there's people like OpenText in that space, but that's all they do. And then there's the need to be able to create and communicate other documents, and there's players in that market like Smart Communications. And then there's the need to automate processes around documents, and again, there might be people like Pega Systems that do this. But we think to solve the next generation of use cases, you have to bring all these things together into one platform. So we don't know of anybody who's doing that with an AI first native next generation document management system. But depending on what the use case is, you might find different competitors. But we're trying to be ready for the next era. And so a lot of what we do actually is replacing systems that have the last generation, and then replacing them with the next generation system. And then the other things we do is solving new use cases that no one had even thought possible.
Okay, it's because I just read you guys were competing in some aspects with Microsoft Unbox. So that was why my question came from.
Yeah, we don't really, you've got to be, if you compete with Microsoft, you're in trouble, I think. So I always try and not compete with Microsoft, always try and be complimentary with Microsoft. Microsoft, they're obviously doing an amazing job. And the bit that they have in their portfolio is SharePoint, which is not really a document. It's not a enterprise document management system. It's really a document sharing system. It's the world's most ubiquitously deployed system. And they also have Office, of course, which is widely deployed, Dynamics, as you mentioned. And what we do is connect to those systems. So if it's a source of documents for us, yeah, and just we can read and understand Office documents from SharePoint, but they're not going to provide governance around document. They're not going to do automation of document processes. So Microsoft is an ecosystem that we connect to, not really a competitor. And Box is that's a great product, but it's more for the simple use cases, easy to use. And we tend to solve the big, hairy enterprise problems. They don't tend to be an enterprise product. They're the more small, medium enterprise. So very good. Not criticizing them. A rising tide lifts all boats, but different sort of from us.
Great. So, John, for aspiring AI professionals, what advice would you give them about staying grounded? Because, well, on all this entrepreneurial and business world, everything can be very hypey and just follow the trends. So what would you advise them?
Yeah, I think you've got to solve real business problems. If you're not solving customer pain and delivering real value, then, you know, there's no point doing it. And just for some, everybody's trying to say they're doing AI, but most people are just wrapping something around ChatGPT or something like that. So I think you've really got to think about how are you solving real customer problems, and then you'll be, I think, in great shape.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time, and thanks again for joining the Humans on Air podcast. I hope that you have a great time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Humans on AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.